When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the role playing, got a all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. No, this is not Ethan Skolnick. No, this is not Leif Sylvander. This is Alex Toledo, and I've got my guys Brady Hawk and Matt Hanifan with me. Man, what a crazy couple of days, man. I feel like it went by quick now that it's over, but it really didn't. Like, there was so much that's happened since this draft started last night. Here we are in day two, just to recap things. The Heat took Khalil Ware with their 15th pick in the first round yesterday. And then today with the 43rd pick, you know, what was announced was Nikola Jurišić. What we found out shortly thereafter was the Heat actually traded that pick and traded one spot back in the draft to take their actual guy, the guy that they had at the top of their board when this pick was here, according to them, Pelle Larsen, a guard, a wing, you could say, out of Arizona, and a guy that had been thrown around for the Heat for this range, a guy who can really shoot the ball, who can do is a multifaceted player offensively. You know, people have touted his competitiveness, his motor. I think it's somebody as a 23-year-old, and we talked about this on Playback, by the way, where we've been the past couple of days watching this stuff live. Playback.tv/5RSN. If you're not already tuned in, it's been really fun, you know, kind of experiencing everything live with everybody. But the guy seems like he's going to fit in right away. He seems like he's in the line of, you know, Max Strus and Duncan Robinson, as far as like they'll play him in those sets, will be a spacer. When he's not in those sets, can move around and relocate. Can, you know, drive and finish at the rim when he beats a closeout, is a pretty good passer. Again, 6'6 with, I believe, a 6'8 wingspan, if I have that right. So a very interesting pick after they went with kind of a younger, you know, athletic tools type of pick yesterday with Khalil Ware. Would have been very surprised if Nikola Jurišić, who seems like a long-term prospect, would have been their pick. And Pelle Larsen is the opposite. He seems like he might be a guy that we get to see a good amount of next season. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself here. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Of course, depends on how the roster shakes up. But I think they got a guy who can contribute right away here. Matt, I'm going to go to you first since you've been doing so much for us on the Playback side. Go check him out there if you haven't. How do you feel just about Pelle Larsen and that pick there?
He's a very cerebral player, and he's someone that I was high on throughout the pre-draft process when I was just looking at potential second-round prospects that the Miami Heat could target. And he was just a guy that, like, he does a lot of things really well. Like, he wasn't tasked with, like, initiating offense a ton. Like, they had Caleb Love, they have Kylan Boswell over at Arizona, but he was definitely a guy that could be, like, a secondary playmaker, and that's kind of the role that he played in. And when he wasn't doing that, like, he was a guy that you could run off of screens. There were certain times where he was setting screens himself, and that's something that he could potentially use him in. He was a knockdown shooter, knocked down 40% of his threes throughout his college career. He won Sixth Man of the Year 3 years ago and really expanded his role. Like, he wasn't a bad rebounder. He doesn't look like the most like fleet of foot player when he's on the court, but like, he's deceptively strong. And I think there is some like deceptive athleticism with his like deceleration, his ability when he has a head of steam heading downhill. Like, he can elevate. He had a 38-inch max vert at the combine. Like, he's a dude who's got some bounce to him. He's not afraid to play through contact. Like, he could do a lot of things really well. And like, he didn't light up the box score. Like, he averaged 13-4-4 this last year. Like, that's not crazy numbers. And I guess when some people look at that, they don't see like a great player, a good player. But like, this dude was a really, really, really good player on top of everything. And he was a pretty solid defender. Like, he was a dude who wasn't afraid to take on the tougher assignments at times. And he could defend multiple positions. He'll probably defend both guard spots and potentially smaller wings at the next level. Like, he's strong and he's got a good build to him. And he's competitive on the end of the floor. And like, I think when you just put all of that together, like, you definitely get a Miami Heat guy and a guy that they'll look at. So he was someone who I was high on throughout. I was really happy with the pick. I think he's got a really good floor to him, but I think in this kind of system, he has a good ceiling as well.
Agree with everything you said there. He was one of the guys that I was looking at. You know, after cramming in just like 70 different players over the past couple of months, trying to, you know, catch up on this draft, you know, since the Heat got eliminated so early, you know, we got a little bit more time this year. But he's one of those guys where, you know, it feels like they balanced out again, like what they did with their first round pick very nicely here. And just to also let everybody know, Adam Simon just finished speaking to media here on Zoom just before we got on here. We also got to hear a little bit from Pelle Larsson, although it wasn't that many questions. And I will tell you, I could not figure out a way to put my hand up on Zoom the entire time. I don't know if, you know, if that was the Heat or what. No, but in all seriousness, you know, he only answered a couple of questions, and not sure if he is going to speak when the Heat have their press conference. We haven't been told yet. But some of the stuff that Adam Simon said, I'm going to let you know right now. But before I do, these quotes were posted first to Discord, to our Off the Floor Discord server. And you guys can check that out in the description of this podcast episode, in the description of every podcast episode, in the description on YouTube. Go check it out. Scroll down once you click on it and make sure to join the server. You get everything here. This is where we're posting, you know, the majority of our work first. Ethan and Leif have been posting the stuff that they've been hearing throughout the offseason. And man, Leif is just on fire at this time of year when he's naming off guys that the Heat worked out, and the Heat picked up a couple of those guys, which we'll get to later on. But, you know, when it comes to that, when it comes to what they're going to do in the offseason, when it comes to Brady and the analysis he gives, like, we're doing everything we can to supply this with information and coverage, not to mention the chats that are always going. You can speak with, you know, a group of Heat fans that are actually trying to talk ball with each other and not just, you know, be toxic, as you can see in other platforms, right? But anyways, check that out, Off the Floor Discord. Adam Simon today, when, you know, he was getting asked about the Pelle Larsson pick, said that he's a player they've been watching for years and said multiple times that they've done a lot of work with his coach, Coach Lloyd, for him and one of the other guys that we're going to get to later on that they also picked up. He said Larsson, what he shows us is a well-rounded, versatile player, 38-inch vertical, good hands, said that they liked his ability to shoot, his defensive mindset, said that he was on top of their board when they got to 43 and took advantage of being able to move back a spot to still get their guy, said they appreciate the way he moves, the way he gets around the court so easily, the way he shoots, rebounds, can get a deflection, said it's just a matter of developing the base of his skill set and he'll be able to fit into lots of different roles. Brady, since you haven't gotten a chance to speak yet, I'll stop ball hogging. How did you feel about the Pelle Larsson pick?
Yeah, I mean, number one, you get a 6'6 wing that's just an absolute shooter. Like, you can never have enough of those guys. You can never have enough of those type of shooters. And his form is so fluid. Like, it's not like a couple of these guys where it's like, okay, how is it going to translate? Like, no. Like, this is like a fluid jumper that's going to jump right into things. I kept looking. It's like, there's no dip. He just catches high and fires that it feels like they could put him in a lot of sets, and he has such a quick trigger that they're going to be able to run stuff like that. And look, he had a really good shooting season. He's coming off a season where he shot 43% from three on a little bit of lower volume. He upped it to three threes per game, which is higher than what he's been at. But obviously, I think what Miami's going to focus on, and I like some of his on-ball skills, like I do. I like his some of his playmaking stuff. I think he can put the ball on the floor and get into some pull-ups. But I do think Miami in some ways is going to kind of box him in and say, we want you kind of playing off the catch a little bit more, getting that number up a little bit higher. And it was funny because I looked, he was actually shot 45% from three, like on NBA range threes. So like, just like thinking about that perspective on it, just shows like he does have the range there. Like he does have that as a shooter. The defense is intriguing just because of the fact, I know there's that clip going around of him guarding Jaime last year where, he just gets after it. Like he's just a kind of just wants to, you know, when these guys just like they want to play defense, that's what you get out of this guy. Like he like gives it his all on any given possession. But I think the thing that's intriguing about him is he is like a system player. Like when you watch him, like he's not somebody that needs the ball in his hands or is asking to like just be a pure shooter. Like he plays it almost like in the Christian Brown role in Denver, where he's like, he'll be that off-ball guy. He'll be that glue guy. He'll be the guy, as you mentioned, Matt. He'll set screens. Like they did a lot with him in the short role where he was kind of just catching there and finishing at the rim. There's the off-ball cutting off those corners and wings. There's the fact where teams would go zone against them and they would just plop him in the middle of the zone. Like he was their zone breaker just because he is like that all-around type of guy. Like he's not just a shooter. Like he can kind of be that spray guy. He could get into that mid-range and finish. And usually – you're look like if he gets downhill out of a pick and roll, like he has this little thing where he gets this little like turnaround fadeaway mid range that he has like in his bag. So like there is certain things there that he does have more in his bag, I believe. But I do think Miami always does it. They box players in, not in a negative way, but they want to maximize their strengths. They just do it all the time. That I think they look at this guy and see how good of a shooter he is. They're like, no, we need to make sure you maximize that and you need to get more shots up. And that's the role he's going to be put in when he gets, you know, utilized in a rotation, utilized in games throughout the regular season. Like that's the role he's going to be playing. So I like the pick. I mean, I think he's somebody that you could see playing like rotation minutes when needed, like to kind of stepping in. Like when we talked about last year, when Cole Swider was on a two-way and we were kind of like, okay, is he going to play when they're down a shooter? And Miami kind of would make the decision, okay, we'll just play with an extra wing here or there. No, like I think this is a guy that they'll trust to put in a system, do the right things, be in the right spots, and just knock down open shots. So I like the pick for that reason. So I'm intrigued.
I'm glad that you brought up the Cole Swider kind of example here and the difference between being able to get somebody to play in that role, you know, in the second round versus undrafted. Not trying to hate on Cole Swider here whatsoever, but I'm completely with you in what you're saying. When it comes to like, you know, he can do more than one thing. Like I said, he's multifaceted. Like you guys have been talking about, like he can make you pay in a variety of ways. If and when he has run off the line in the NBA, he can, you know, make a play, whether it's for himself or for others. Like he can pass the ball. And just to give out some stats here, shout out our guy from Heat Beat, Coach Lou at Saucy Takes, 91st percentile in catch and shoot, 95th percentile shooting out of pull-ups, 92nd percentile in transition. Not only that, another stat I saw was that he ranked in the 90th percentile as a ball screen handler. So just to kind of, you know, get back to that point, he can do a lot of things for you. I think they drafted an offensive weapon, and somebody who can do it for them right away is not necessarily a project. And I think we're going to get to see a good amount of. So just to kind of wrap that up there, before we get to the second half of this show, where we're going to go over the guys that the Heat picked up undrafted, I want to talk about Prize Picks. You guys already know Prize Picks. It is our daily fantasy sponsor. We've been doing this forever now. You just pick, you pick some players, you pick over or under on their projected stats, and you win money. It's really that simple. You use the promo code 5 to sign up, and they're going to match your initial deposit up to $100. And from there, it's pretty simple. You know, like I said, you pick a guy or a girl. You're right. And you go over or under, and that's pretty much it, man. Ethan, Brady, Leif, and I have been going insane on Prize Picks for the past couple of years. You know, they're back legal in the state of Florida. They weren't for a while there, and they kind of managed to figure everything out, and we're back, baby. So use the promo code 5 for Prize Picks. Again, they'll match your initial deposit up to $100.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the way it handles, I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. It means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sorry for butchering that ad read, as I am not a natural point guard, as you can tell here. But now, after the draft ended, there were some guys on the board still available that had worked out with the Heat. And we were all kind of there just, you know, waiting on playback to see what was going on. And specifically, a guy that I really wanted for them to take at the 43rd pick, and Keshawn Johnson, who played alongside Pelé Larson at Arizona. He was there, and that was the first guy they got. Not long afterwards, they picked up senior point guard Zion Pullen out of Florida, another guy that had been named as far as people that worked out with the Heat in the pre-draft process. So just to let you know a little bit about these guys, Keshawn Johnson, really athletic, has got some great measurables for a big wing. I mean, the guy is insanely athletic. You might see him in the dunk contest as a rookie. If you see his highlight tape, there's like 5 dunk contest dunks just casually in that mixtape. It's pretty wild. He has a weird-looking 3, but converted at a high clip this season after not being so great at that beforehand. The guy can really make plays as a defender using his athleticism. So just a fun pickup here, I think, you know, for the Heat to get a big athletic wing after getting, you know, an athletic 5-man the day before, and somebody, like I said, who I thought was worthy of a second-round pick there for the Heat, you know, at their slot, picking him up. And then Zion Pullen, who I don't know quite as much about, but from what I've seen, seems like a guy who can shoot on low volume, a guy who can defend a bit, and just, you know, somebody that's been described as a steady point guard. And so it feels like they've got a little bit of everything, you know, when you look at kind of just recapping the entire draft. When you get the athletic big and Khalil Ware, who may or may not be a part of your rotation right away, I kind of, after a day of letting it sink in, I think we will see a good amount of Khalil Ware next season. I feel that way about, like I said, Pelé Larson too. Keshawn Johnson, man, I think, you know, it whether or not he could play next season probably depends on what happens with Caleb and Haywood this summer, and if they happen to make any moves for other wings that would be ahead of him. Both of those guys, by the way, Keshawn Johnson and Zion Pullen, were given two-way deals by the Heat. And Adam Simon said when he was speaking to media that they kind of had to, because he felt that they were, you know, guys who could have been snatched up by another team pretty easily. And he said that they were surprised as well that both of those guys were not drafted. Said said that Keshad has the ability to put to be put in different roles as a defender, can be a lob threat, said that defensively he moves around, and that his lateral versatility is good. So that's what Adam Simon had to say about Keshad Johnson. Matt, how do you feel about these two pickups here?
I mean, with the Keshad Johnson quote, I mean, hit it right on the head. I've been watching Keshad Johnson for a long time, considering I live on the West Coast and I watched a lot of San Diego State basketball. He's a phenomenal athlete. Like, I don't think people, I mean, people will realize it at some point, but like, he had a 31.5-inch standing vert, 42-inch max vert, which tied the combine best. He was very good in transition. Like Tommy Lloyd in his offense at Arizona, he preaches pushing the pace, and Keshad was always one of like the first guys down the floor. He could run the floor. And then he was just a really good finisher in transition. And obviously with like the dunks, the athleticism defensively, like he's 6'6" with a 6'10" wingspan. Like he's got a pretty sturdy 225-pound frame on him. He's got broad shoulders. He's really smart defensively. Like he's good enough and he's strong enough to handle bigger wings, but he's also quick enough to handle smaller guards on the perimeter. He was very good at off ball. Like he was very good at like tagging the roller and like playing the passing lanes there. He knew how to position himself well off the ball. It feels like he's longer than 6'10", like with the 6'10 wingspan. Like there are just times where he can cover a short amount of ground or he can cover a lot of ground really in a really quick time frame. Like he's a really, really, really special athletic player. And this is something like he doesn't have much ball skills offensively. Like his jump shot was pretty broken when he was at San Diego State. He improved that a lot this last year, 38% on 2.6 attempts per game, like on pretty low volume. The form looks better, the footwork looks better, but he's a really, really, really good defensive player who can cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time, and he could just do a little bit of everything on that end of the floor. And that's something that I like a lot about him. And I wonder what kind of role they'll have him in, whether he needs development as like a ball handler, as a decision maker sometimes when he has the ball in his hands, a playmaker, like all that stuff he can develop on. But there's a good base of what he can do, especially defensively and in transition, which is something that the Miami Heat need.
So the other guy, by the way, that I forgot to mention, they picked up kind of just right before we started this, Isaiah Stevens. How do you feel about him, Matt? Because I know you said you got to watch a lot of him before I get to Brady to get his thoughts.
Yeah, Isaiah Stevens, maybe this is my West Coast bias, but I categorize him as one of the best playmakers in the class. Like he is a really good, true point guard, but he's also a phenomenal scoring guard. Like he averaged about 15.5 points per game throughout his Colorado State career, around 40% from deep. He was almost a 45% shooter from deep this last year on pretty good volume, about 4 attempts a game, a near 3-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. He's really quick with the ball in his hands. He's about 6'1", but he can manipulate defenses, and he's really good. Like he's just really good at, you know, like manipulating the tag man and finding the open player. And he can play off ball too. Like a good amount of his 3-point attempts were just on spot up attempts. And like, he's got a pretty good release to him. But he's just a guy who he's also pretty competitive defensively. Like his size, there's limitations there. Like he's not the biggest guy on the floor, but he'll compete on the defensive end and he'll be scrappy at the point of attack. And I just wonder how that fares against NBA athletes, but just, he's a guy with the ball in his hands. Like he's a really good playmaker. He's a really good shooter. He can score a little bit. He can finish around the rim at a decent level. He's just a guy that I like a lot and a guy that I've been watching develop for a while. And it's cool to see him have this opportunity if I'm just being a little sentimental about it.
Brady, what are your thoughts on the guys that they picked up today undrafted?
Yeah, so I'll say I was pretty high on Keshad Johnson. Like I was kind of a person that was thinking they could get him at 43, as you were talking about before. Like I think that, I mean, they had him in for a workout. He just fits a lot of the things that they do. And you look at the fact that they are somewhat in a need for wings with Caleb Martin possibly leaving. It just made a lot of sense. Like the guy, people always ask the question when the guy goes undrafted, especially with Miami. Not that they question it, but they'll say like, "What? Like if he's this good, if he's this really good, strong defensive player, 3-and-D guy, can kind of do everything, like why did he not get drafted?" Well, it's probably because I don't think people are believers in the three-point shot and just his jumper in general. Like the fact that it went from 26 to 39% from three. I mean, I think that there's like a little bit of wondering if that's like a fluke run with this system. But when you go and draft, you can take a chance on that. I think you see a lot of signs that point to the fact that it's not really a fluke, that you've just seen growth, you've seen shifts with the jumper. And it's just not all about that. I feel like all the other stuff that he does, when you mentioned Caleb Levin, like this guy could play in the dunker spots. This guy can kind of move on that baseline a little bit. He's just active on the offensive boards. He's just gritty. As Matt was talking about defensively, like all of that stuff matters. Like the fact that being under control defensively was a key thing that I think you said, because like the one thing that I see with him is like he's a very good like shot blocker on jumpers. And you have to be under control to do that. Like you cannot be out of place. So the fact that he's able to do that, like he could turn defense to offense quick. Like he's a guy that they can, if they want to run, you know, certain lineups to play in a little bit faster, they can with these young guys. Like Jaime likes to run, Nico likes to run. This guy, like they like to run. So they're getting a little bit stronger, I guess, on the break, which is important. But I just like him. I do think the one thing I'll say is I think there's an opportunity for his mid-range game to be utilized. Like that's the one thing that I think I'm curious to see a little bit more of, just from the stuff I've seen. Like, I don't know if I'll compare it to like a Morris twin type mid-range game, but I just see the opportunity for like to like see like a little face-up game with like he has that little midi, like that short midi that I think he can get to. I think there's potential for them to work like mid post actions for him, kind of a little post split. So if they can find ways, I think a big thing with them is they're going to find ways to try to see if he can play make a little bit, where running handoffs, like I said, out of those post splits, trying to see if he can create in that way. Like that would be the thing that would open it up to another level. But as a base player, I mean, he's just a strong defender that does the right things offensively, does not get in the way. And I'll say this, Alex, because I kept asking you guys this over and over for the last few weeks, where I kept bringing up, like, how would the Heat view the G League Ignite? Like, just because I feel like Miami is so traditional. Like, they like the college systems. They like them playing under a coach that has a certain offensive scheme that they learn and play a specific role, because that's just the type of guys they like. They don't like the guys that are all over the place and try to do everything and all that stuff. And the reason I say that is because you look at them get two guys today from the same program that they have connections to, that they talk to, and it just makes sense. Like, it really does, because I think they feel more comfortable when they make these selections and get these guys that they know are coachable, that'll play in these certain styles and play, like, not just keep saying in a box, but somewhat in a box when they tell them to play a specific role. And the reason I say that is because Keshawn Johnson, I feel like, is the definition of playing somewhat in a box. Like, look at the role he played with Arizona. Like, he wasn't asking for the ball. He wasn't trying to get in the way of things. Like, he literally just played his role to perfection. And I think that's ultimately what Miami saw the most in.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of all you can ask for when it comes to these undrafted guys. And, you know, we've seen the Heat success with those type of players in the past, where it's like you see these guys and you imagine the type of role you could play them in, and where you're just trying to kind of optimize their strengths, right? And just put them in clean, clear-cut roles for them, right? And I think Keshawn Johnson is a perfect example of what they can do there, of like that type of thinking, right? He can shoot an open corner three. He's pretty good at above the break threes. You know, you mentioned the way that he can run a baseline. You know, he's a good cutter. Shot converted about 67% at the rim, right? And a guy who is going to be, you know, a lob threat, a guy who's going to be a putback threat, a guy who's going to be, you know, a dunker spot threat when he cuts into space there. Now, obviously, it's a little bit easier said than done with some of those things because of, you know, the issues that the Heat have had with their spacing at times during the Jimmy and Bam era, where they're kind of there, you know, very often. So I think that's one of the, I guess, like the obstacles that he's going to have to climb in order to become a rotation guy is, you know, that three needs to be hitting. That three needs to be falling. Like you said, it needs to not be a fluke thing where he goes back to being a questionable shooter. And I think he's got a funky release, but I don't think it's bad, though. And I think he's a willing shooter. He doesn't seem like scared to shoot it. And just the way that he can make plays for you athletically is something like that specific aspect of basketball is somewhere that he'd have been really lacking over these past few years. Just like guys who can make plays just off of their, you know, athleticism, right? And the Heat have kind of addressed that here in the draft. If they plan on playing these guys, where you know, Khalil Ware is a guy who is going to add rim pressure, right? Same thing with Keshawn Johnson, but just in a different type of way, right? Because rim pressure usually talking about guys who can drive into the paint and make a play out of there. But, you know, as far as guys who will be lob threats and guys who can generate some stuff for you at the rim just off of pure athleticism, like you picked up, and you know, both of them front court pieces, a 4 and a 5. Like, you know, they, I think they feel similarly, right, as to, you know, the way that some Heat fans feel as far as like what their holes are. And another one that was clear cut was offense and shooting. It's like outside of a couple of players, you know, there's a lot of question marks, and they really addressed that with Pelle Larsen. And, you know, like we've been talking about, a guy who is going to be able to have counters when he is run off the line, not like a one-dimensional player who can only shoot, right, who can, he can move pretty well, can jump. Like, they've, I think this is a really interesting draft, man. I think this is a really interesting draft for them with the guys that they were able to get, not only with their picks, but undrafted as well. And I'm just excited to see these guys during the summer league. I think it's just more stuff that we'll have, that we'll be able to talk about. And, you know, they never have two picks in a draft anymore. Not only that, like, they've got a couple of guys we're interested in that are undrafted. It's cool to see, you know, it's like, it's a nice breath of fresh air for the Heat and their fans. I think there was some shock after the pick that the Heat made last night. And I think people got over it, because I feel like they kind of get the benefit of the doubt now when it comes to the decisions they make on draft night. And so, like I said, excited to see how all these guys and their careers play out. We're going to have more for you. I think Ethan's going to record an episode tomorrow with our guy Eternal, who, you know, huge couple of days for him. Khalil Ware has been at the top of his draft board for a long time now. Hashtag Eternal was right. Got to give it to him there. But thank you, Brady. Thank you, Matt, for joining me. Shout out Prize Picks once again. Use promo code 5 to match your initial deposit up to $100. Check out the Off the Floor Discord server in the description. Check us out on playback.tv/5RSN. And yeah, have a good night, guys. Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.